Statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
Hello, good afternoon. This is David O. Thank you for joining me again here at In the Know with David O. We're going to talk about, how to do well in college, in school, particularly, on your way to college. And then when you arrive in college your first year, making that adjustment, something important to everyone who's going to, try to make it into college. But especially for those who don't have like a role model or you're the first generation to go to college, what a strange experience. And so a lot of about what you might worry about or kind of finding out about what you don't know about. And so we'll be talking to Dr. Stephen Jones, Associate Dean of Students at the College of Engineering at Villanova University. He is an author, a speaker, and someone who provides training and workshops in the area of how to do well in school and get into college. And by the way, parents, how to find money to pay for it. And then we'll be speaking to Marjali Mejia Rabel. She is the film fest director of the Philadelphia Latino Film Festival, and we'll be talking about showcasing the work of Latino filmmakers here in Philadelphia. Let me thank the show's sponsor. That is Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They're located at the Line Title Building, 100 South Broad Street, Suite 1800B. They are just an excellent office in terms of helping people to get back to as full a life as possible, pain management, rehabilitation, and other things, work-related injuries, and all that. Check them out, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. And then, listen, if you want to check out last week's show, we had the former mayor of Philadelphia, John Street. He was on our show. Interesting topic. It all had to do with property taxes and the fact that as a former mayor of Philadelphia, he is suing the city of Philadelphia. Isn't that unusual? And so we went into it a little bit with what he's doing, why he's doing it. And we also talked a bit to Reverend Jeremiah Cousins of the Evening Baptist Ministers Conference as he was kind of giving us some updates on what was happening, because last Tuesday was election day here in our region, all our surrounding counties and Philadelphia itself. And so let me congratulate all the winners, everyone who won in the primary. Listen, if you're here in Philadelphia, you pretty much won. That's the way it works with the 8-1 registration advantage for Democrats. For others, they move on to November. And so good luck to everyone. And of course, thank you to all the candidates who put themselves out to run for public office. It's such an important thing for our democracy. Well, let me start by introducing just a little bit our first guest. Our first guest is Dr. Stephen Jones, as I said, Associate Dean of Students at the College of Engineering at Villanova University. Among the things he's done, he has been someone who has been passionate about helping students and parents succeed in getting into college and doing well in college. He delivers presentations on how to study, communicate effectively, manage your time, things like that. He's the author of three books, The Seven Secrets of How to Study. They involve numerous topics, but they are generally grouped in three books. Parents' Ultimate Education Guide, Mapping Your Strategies for Better Grades, and Ultimate Scholarship Guide. So joining me now, let me welcome Dr. Stephen Jones.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be a part of this program today.
Well, thank you very much. And as I was talking with you, I found out that you're a local guy.
I am. Actually grew up in West Philadelphia and all throughout the city of Philadelphia, working on issues of the community and education has been my passion.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that that I found out is you're the associate pastor at Christ Community Church of Philadelphia.
As again, right in West Philadelphia,
yes.
And it's wonderful because I'm on the campus of the University of Penn,
right.
So I'm with students all the time, whether I'm at the university or in the city, and it's really wonderful.
Okay. Well, let me start with this. I mean, why did you write these books? And by the way, these books are not super, super thick. They look like they're pretty easy to read. They're very user-friendly. They're well-organized, broken into three books, seven chapters each book, 21 kind of topic or chapters all together. But why did you write these books?
Well, two main reasons. One, I found a lot of students coming to college did not have good study habits.
Mm.
And so, unfortunately, what that led to is not having good grades after the first or second semester and then feelings that they should drop out.
Right.
When maybe it was just a lack of preparation that positioned them in that way. And so I wrote that book to make it easy for them to get the tips and strategies that will help them to be successful.
Yeah, now you had been doing this for a while, I suppose, before you probably said to yourself, man, I keep repeating myself every
That's
I'm
true.
Just going to write this down.
There was a book, it was called The Master Student. It was 400 pages on how to study.
Oh, goodness.
And I said to myself, 400 pages on how to study. I need to create something that they can open up and right away get some tips and strategies on how to be successful as a student. So here it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I can remember, you know, when I first went to college, you know, I had lived at home, you know, went to Central High School, you know, commuted up there, obviously, you know, took public transportation, came back home. And then I went to Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, lived on campus, completely different culture, a lot of really super great kids, fun environment. And of course, I had to manage my own time, which was something I really wasn't used to. And there just seemed to be plenty of time for fun. And little did I know that my friends were masters of looking like they didn't study, but in fact really studied very hard in secret. They were all about fun. And as you said, by the time you discovered, hey, you know what, I really didn't have good study habits, you're kind of like you're already in your you're completed your first year.
Exactly. And a lot of students, I found that when they think about getting tutoring, pride gets in the way of them going to get tutoring. And those students who are in that first semester need it the most.
Right.
The students who are earning A's and B's, they're going for tutoring.
Yes.
So that was one of the program that I ran that would talk to Act 101 was all about making sure that students actually got the support that they needed, because we knew that it was going to be a challenging situation for them if they didn't get that tutoring, if they didn't meet with their faculty, if they weren't organized, that was going to hinder their performance in school. So the other thing is that students don't know that in college, free time is not totally free time.
Right.
That study time. But there's no parent there to tell you that you need to study.
Yeah. So coming from an environment where, you know, I had a very disciplined home. My father was a pastor. And by the way, both my father and mother were high school teachers in Korea.
Ah.
So we had a whole routine when we came home. And then, you know, there I am in college without that kind of, you know, environment. Kind of like a discipline forced upon me. And so, you know, I'm dealing with really bright kids from other states that had grown up really, you know, studying very hard, but mastering the art of looking like they're a regular kid who doesn't study. And me, coming from a background where we had mastered the art of looking like we're studying when we're not really studying that much.
Yeah. And so you have that distinction where you want to enjoy the college experience like everyone else does, but are you really prepared? Sometimes I say students get good behavior grades in high school versus knowledge grades. So then they get to college thinking, okay, as long as I'm sitting in class and not disturbing things, I'll get good grades. But it's, you know, it's about content. It's about knowledge that you have to be able to present. And so that's one of the things, that the reason why I wrote these resources is just to say to you, there's another level. There's another area of preparation that you need to do to be successful. And I wanted to also prevent the dropout rate.
Right.
Unfortunately, for African-American students, African-American males, only 3 out of every 10 students is graduating from college.
Wow.
And only 4 out of every African-American women is graduating from college. So we have a lot of work to do. And I think a lot of it has to do with how much preparation that you have.
Right.
And also then working with the parents, because the parents need to know what they can do in their child's life to prepare them. And so that's why I wrote the second book, because I found, as I started doing a lot of seminars for the students, then the parents were asking, can you tell us some things that we need to do?
What can we do to help our our son or daughter or our kids do well? So a lot of it sounds as though there is a great willingness of, for example, parents who obviously want to see their children do well. Mm-hmm. And but there's just a kind of a lack of knowledge of maybe some obvious and simple things that would be super helpful, as well as, you know, more sophisticated techniques and other things. Could you kind of go through each one of these books and tell our listeners what they could expect in each one of your volumes?
Okay. So in the first book, The 7 Secrets of How to Study,
yes,
it's for that middle school, high school, first year college student to teach them some of the study strategies that will help them to earn A's in their classes in terms of how to think smart. Just because you're studying long doesn't mean that you've actually learned how to study.
Right.
So how do you take the techniques of studying to be successful in a classroom and outside of the classroom?
Could you give us an example? Like, let's say I've got an assignment, I'm reading it, I'm spending, as you said, a long time reading, rereading, trying to digest what I'm getting, but maybe I'm not really learning. What are some of the techniques? Why does this topic even come up?
So you bring up a wonderful thing to think about, is that everyone doesn't learn in the same way.
Right.
So some are tactile learners where they need to touch it. Mm-hmm. Some are visual learners. They need to see it. If some are auditory, they need to hear it.
Right.
And a lot of times we only present knowledge in one way.
Right.
So for a parent, it's kind of observing what your child does in terms of how they learn and then finding ways to present it in a way that they can learn it. The wonderful thing today, of course, is the internet.
Right,
so for that visual learner that needs to watch, they can study the subject and then watch a video. Mm. But they also, you know, for, you know, today we also have these podcasts where they can listen.
Right.
So you have different ways to present it to a child. I work with engineering and science students. So there's a lot of hands-on with that kind of experience. So I'm trying to give them practical things that they can do. Another example was sometimes it's just the teachers in terms of how the teachers present it to the students.
Right.
They may be presenting it in the style that they've learned, but the student can take charge of that by, in their own homes, beginning to think about what helps me to really learn this.
You know, could you give our listeners an example? We have 3 different children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one's a tactile learner, one's a visual learner, one's a auditory learner, and we're teaching them 4 + 3 = 7. How would you do it differently for each one of those kids?
Okay. So we could take out some oranges.
Right.
Right? And we can talk about, you know, adding them together. How many, you know, there's 1 and 1. I'm adding them together. Now I have 2.
Right.
So that's a visual, and they actually can count them. So you're actually engaging them in that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have them write down what does that look like on paper.
Right.
So that gives the visual as well. And the auditory is just having a discussion. And I say that's a big issue today. Sometimes our parents are so busy that they're not having discussions with their children about what they're learning. And that can happen at all levels, whether it's elementary school, middle school, or high school. And I tell the parents to ask an open-ended question. Like, and a student comes home and you say, how was your day? They're going to say, fine. They're going to give you a one-word answer.
Sure.
If they come home, you ask them.
That's the answer I use.
So you had to ask an open-ended question.
Yeah.
What did you do today?
Yeah.
What were you involved in? Those open-ended questions where they had to think about their experience and what they learned, that's the best way to present it to them. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a look at That book was Mapping Your Strategies for Better Grades. You know, what are the seven topics that it covers?
Yeah, so that, so in the this book, it talks about how to study smart in chapter one. Chapter two talks about time management. Chapter three is just looking at the financial picture for college, how to manage your finances for that. How to write a term paper. A lot of students get to college and they haven't written an extensive term paper. So I want to give them some tips on how to do that. Test taking questions, that how to prepare for a test. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have tests no matter where you're at.
Right, absolutely.
And then understanding your textbook, chapter six, and chapter seven is understanding your teacher. So okay, what do you expect from your teacher?
Let me ask you two questions. The first one is... why is college financial planning under the topic of mapping your strategy for better grades?
Because I have a vision that that's where I want them to go.
Yes.
And
okay.
I think that the planning for that doesn't happen early enough in many cases.
Right.
So if this is targeted to middle school, I can have the parents to start to think about, okay, I need, if this is a goal that I have for my child, how can I get the finances together? If they're studying well, if they're learning well, if they're organized, I want to make sure I have the money. And so that's really what Gear Up, the program Gear Up was established for, to tell students how much money they had to get ready to go to college early on. But I don't want any parent to feel discouraged that there's not enough money for their child to go to college. There's over 6,000 colleges in this country, so there is one for your child.
Right.
And sometimes it may mean your child needs to start off in a two-year college versus a four-year college, but there is one for them.
So there are strategies and ways of trying to get the most out of the situation that you're in, you know, in the best interest of your child's future. And then, of course, everybody would understand, like, understand your teacher, but... Well, what specifically do you show the, the students and the parents about why it's important to understand your teacher if you're going to get better grades?
Well, one of the things that I do see in Philadelphia is that parents don't show up for a parents' night. And that's an important activity that parents need to do to find out the first day of school, what's the expectation? What can I do with my child to help them through this particular subject?
Right.
Actually take notes while you're meeting with the teacher to say, okay, this is what you expect. This is what I can do as a partner with you to help you to be effective. And then working with the teacher, understanding that you at home are the teacher as well. It's not just what the teacher is bringing to the table. It's what you as a parent are doing to help educate your child. And sometimes what parents will do is, oh, I sent my child to school, so they're going to learn something, but you had to partner with them as an educator as well.
Right. Educators want that partnership. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Because I know a lot of parents here in Philadelphia, and no insult, but just simply the whole point is you send your child to school, and then school takes care of that, and then your kid, unless they're being suspended or they create a problem, everything's kind of like up to the school.
Right. Yeah, you want to empower the relationship from both sides of it. And it's an opportunity for you to get to learn some things that maybe you didn't know when you were going to school.
Right.
And now you've become a parent. So now to play another role and a more involved role can make a difference for your child. And it does also, it impacts your child's grades in some ways, because now you can be assured that you're giving them, the teacher, the information that they require.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next book, which is The Parent's Ultimate Education Guide. What is in this book?
All right. So in this book, I talk about the first chapter, Parenting 101. What do I do as I start with my child? When your child is born, that's the opportunity for education to begin.
Right.
And a lot of times we have different levels of entertainment that we're providing from them rather than educating them. So chapter one talks about that. Preparing for a test, because you're going to have tests throughout your child's going to have tests throughout their lives. So just what are some strategies that they can use there? Where's the money for college? Because I want the parents to know there's a lot of money out there. Mm-hmm. In my scholarship book, I talk about the fact there's $90 billion in scholarships.
Right.
And half of it goes back every year.
Okay.
So what do you need to do to get that money?
Yes.
then halfway to college, it's kind of middle school. What should I be doing in middle school to help my child do well? And then chapter five is on knowing the student's teacher, what the assignments are, really organizing yourself in such a way that different teachers have different techniques and you want to be prepared for that.
Right.
And college is going to be the same way. Then creating your own study plan. And then the last chapter is, as a high school student, how do I get ready for college? So I call it College 101.
Mm.
Yeah.
How would you summarize how to get ready for college?
All right. So I believe that the students, just as they're in high school, start those habits. So start managing their time. Start being more organized. Have a certain place where they study. Have a plan in terms of working with other students, maybe study groups,
right,
which a lot of high school students don't do that, and they get to college and don't know how to do that.
Right.
If you're not assigned the paper, you know, make sure that you are doing some writing, because there's going to be a lot of writing in college. And whatever you write, you want it to be evaluated in some way so you can have a better plan on how you're going to respond to the writing assignments that are required. So I see this college as the preparation period. The high school is the preparation period for college.
Oh, okay. Right. Very good. Well, let me say this. We are going to take a commercial break, but stay tuned, because we have another book to go through and some more with Dr. Stephen Jones about college and how to do well in college for parents and students. We'll be back after this commercial break.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise: technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today,
right,
or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, we are back. Listen, I'm here, you know, talking about how to get in college, do your best, you know, kind of a guide for parents as well as students with Dr. Stephen Jones, Associate Dean of Students at the College of Engineering at Villanova University. He's also Associate Pastor at Christ Community Church of Philadelphia, and he has his degree in psychology, and he helps students and others perform their best. You can always reach out to him. He is drstephenjones.net. It's www.drstephenjones.net, drstephenjones.net, for better grades, or call 610-544-5480. He is a nationally acclaimed and recognized education advocate, workshop presenter, and author. He's available for training and speaking engagements. Now, we were talking about, College 101, where he was saying, like, yeah, well, if you kind of get yourself into right habits while you're in high school, that would really help you when you get to college. And I said, well, listen, that's something I certainly didn't do. I figured I was going to finish high school and start, you know, being in college when I got to college. But that's because I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
And so, like all things, if you have a sense of what you're getting into and you can prepare, that's always better.
Yeah. And so what can happen is that, let's say, for example, most of the week you didn't have homework.
Yes.
After.
Right.
And you still got you still earned A's and B's. You're
right.
Thinking that I can go to college and not really have additional work to do.
Yeah.
And that it's really my free time after I finish my classes, and I'll get to the books later on. And that's how a lot of students get stuck that first semester.
Right.
By they hadn't developed that discipline, is a good word,
right,
for spending hours of time. One of the recommendations that I have for students is basically for every hour of class, you should be spending 2 hours studying.
Right.
So if you look at it that way, then you almost have a full-time job in studying.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't ring true with many students.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great advice, and you know, but it's tough for them to accept it because it hasn't been relevant to them so far. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times I've run into students who, you know, were obviously not doing that great,
mm-hmm.
but they were getting straight A's. And their answer to me whenever I tell them, hey, you should do a little extra preparation, you should, is, listen, I got all A's, can't do better than all A's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, listen, you know, your all A's might really be all C's, you know, in a more competitive environment.
Right.
But it's just tough to tell someone who's getting all A's that they need to do any more work.
So what I have been recommending to the high schools,
yes,
is they bring in some college students to talk to them. Or if they're in a trade and they have to study, bring those students in so they could have the conversations, because again, they hear from the adults all the time. They need to hear from someone close to their age that can tell them what they're actually doing in college. Because you're right, I mean, you might have your own image. I was the first person in my family to go to college, so I had my own image of what I was going to be doing when I got there, and I had some awakening that first semester myself. I didn't have the highest GPA that I would love to have had.
Hey, me neither.
That first semester. I had to learn.
Yeah, but listen, it's wonderful that you're telling, students, and it's also great to be telling parents, because parents sometimes don't know what their kids are thinking. You know, I mean, when I was in high school, of course, we had to be in class. If you weren't in class, you know, there was consequences.
Right.
But when I get to college, it's kind of like, well, you know, you need to be in class, but you don't really need to be here. What you need to do is do well on the final or the midterm or something like that. And so there weren't really consequences to not showing up until after you took the examination.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's kind of interesting because in our college, I'm in the College of Engineering.
Yes.
So when I was working on my doctorate degree, I was focusing on higher education, like how I could help students in higher education.
Right.
And I found that a lot of times students aren't, they don't have things mapped out. So if you're following a roadmap to nowhere, you're going to go to nowhere.
Yes.
So really, it's helping them to plan and have a roadmap that they're going to follow for each semester. Each instructor is going to give you a syllabus, and that's your roadmap. Right. And you could decide to use it or not to use it.
I thought that was just extra paper.
So the goal is to get you using that and yes. practically to help you to get through the semester. Now, also, just one of the tips that they can start while they're in high school is just meet with your teacher outside of the class time. So you can get to know you can get to know them, and you can find out exactly what they're looking for.
Okay. Well, this is really some very solid advice. It seems obvious to me now, but I guarantee you when I was in college, I wasn't thinking about any of these things. Let's move on to your third and final book. It's the book that I really like. It's Ultimate Scholarship Guide, and it's all about, you know, how to write scholarship letters, prepare for a scholarship interview, uncover corporate and federal grants. Why don't you go through that with us? Because, you know, today, not only do you hear about the just huge costs of college, which is prohibitive to so many young people, it appears, it's something that, you know, as I kind of look at college and universities, and listen, I'm starting early because my daughter just turned 12. Listen, I am concerned about these costs.
Yes.
Why don't you go through a little bit about what's contained in this book? Okay.
So this book, the very first chapter, I call it Scholarship 101. How do you get started? Because I get that question from parents all the time, is I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how to look, even though we have Google and all these other resources. So I try to give you practical tips on getting started. And one of the tips I'll give today is that you should have a day every week and a certain hour where your child or and maybe you together are looking at scholarships, are doing the applications, getting the recommendations. If you don't have that specific time, you'll miss a lot of deadlines. I've had several students who could apply for a presidential scholarship, which would cover everything, but they missed the deadline.
Oh.
We also have another scholarship. They can get just tuition paid for.
Right.
I knew they qualified, but I can't apply for you as a student. You have to apply for yourself. So just how do you get started? The second chapter is on just how to write a scholarship letter, the importance of actually, you know, making sure it's clear on what your goals are and why you're going to college. That's what most scholarship letters are looking for. So I explained that. How to prepare for a scholarship interview, how to obtain international studies. There's opportunities for you to go abroad. Like, how do you make that happen? How to uncover corporate. There are a lot of corporations you use every day. McDonald's, you're going to Wendy's, there's a Coca-Cola scholarship. So you can go on and on. Corporations, the Wells Fargo, that you are in every day that offer scholarships that you can apply for.
Right.
Chapter number six is just searching the internet. And then the last chapter is on how to pay for graduate school, because there are students that are looking for graduate school opportunities. And there's something called graduate assistantships where they can actually pay for your college attendance. And while I'm on that topic, I have two children that have gone to college. They happen to attend Villanova University as well. My son is working on finance and accounting, and he is working with a company called Siegfried, doing very well in industry, and he's in an executive management training program. I experimented on both my children.
Yes.
And then my daughter, she's a computer and electrical engineering graduate from Villanova, and she's at Northwestern working on her PhD in computer science. So all these things that are in these books, I try to make them real practical, and you can go to the website that was mentioned earlier to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and here's a topic, how to earn an A+ in 12 hours. So that's the kind of stuff that is in your book, you know, the techniques of how to do things right, because you're kind of like providing people in hindsight after, you know, a very lengthy career and trying to help people to be successful, things that they don't know about because they haven't done it yet.
Exactly. And so I've worked at several different colleges. I worked at Philadelphia University, which now is called Jefferson.
Yes.
With the Act 101 program. I've worked at Drexel University for 13 years in the engineering department, helping those engineers to get through. And then also now at Villanova. So I have a lot of experience in that.
Right.
And I just am really passionate about sharing it with families, school districts, to help their students be successful.
Oh, wonderful. Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming and joining our show here. For everyone, once again, it's Dr. Stephen Jones, and you can check him out just like that, DR for doctor, drstephenjones.net, or call 610-544-5480 for better grades and also for some advice about some how to pay for college.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, listen, I'm going to ask my next guest to come and sit down with us. She is Mariangeli Mejia Rabal. She is the festival director for the Philadelphia Latino Film Festival. And they are going to be presenting their 2019 festival May 30th through June 2nd. Here in Philadelphia. She's got just a wonderful calendar of filmmaker workshops, short showcases, and films, of course, for this year's program. So let me just say that Mariangeli Mejia Rabal is a Philadelphia-based cultural producer, community development practitioner, whose work is centered on cross-sector partnerships, collective impact arts and culture. She uses them as a tool for social change, community revitalization. She's a co-founder of Afro-Taino Productions. She curates, co-designs, and executes art cultural programming, campaigns, special events, and projects in public and private arena targeting multicultural audience. Audiences. Mariangeli, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. I know you in a different light, particularly
Afro-Taino
Productions, which is a lot of music, and, you know, oftentimes we get some of your artists, and you are also oftentimes one of our judges for the PHL Live Center Stage, at least your partner.
My partner
Yes.
Yeah.
Rashawn Lucas. But tell us about the Philadelphia Latino Film Festival and what's happening this year.
So the Philadelphia Latino Film Festival has been around since 2012. Mm-hmm. And our mission is really to showcase the work of emerging and established Latino filmmakers, but it's also to facilitate cross-cultural dialogue. Mm. And that's something that we take very seriously and embrace. It's a great opportunity in such a diverse city as Philadelphia and the region in general. So what we have for you and for audiences are 4 days of programming.
Right. Starting May 30th to June 2nd, right?
So we have historically been a 3-day festival, and this year we're starting getting a head start on the mm-hmm. Thursday to maximize on the Friday opportunity.
Right.
So we'll open on Thursday, May 30th. We'll be at Hamilton Hall at University of the Arts. This is located at 320 South Broad Street.
Right.
And our opening night is a shorts program. We understand that people have long days at work.
Yes.
That people sometimes, you know, a lot of our colleagues have multiple events to attend on a night, and that audiences have a wide range of priorities and lifestyles.
Right.
So we want to make it easy for the person that has to pick up kids from a babysitter. We mm-hmm. want to make it easy for the one that goes out later in the evening to a club so they can come, as younger folks will say, they can pre-game it with us.
Yes. You pre-gaming,
know,
all right.
Absolutely. Somebody who wants to go out on a date, somebody, and actually, pre-gaming is an appropriate term, because Thursday will be the first night of the NBA Finals.
Yes.
That start at 9 p.m. So you can definitely come and pre-game with us.
Yes.
And what we'll have is we are, you know, as I said, we have a shorts program. So the short that we're showcasing this year, we feel is at the core of a lot of the conversation that we're having and the climate. It's called Room 140.
Mm.
And it takes place, Room 140 is the first room in this small hotel where folks that are being released from detention centers go and spend their first evening.
Okay.
So it's beautifully done. It's it touches on a subject that is really heavy, but in a way that it It's just more about the human experience right, of right. that. It's not preachy. So that's very important to us right. that we address topics that are heavy in a way that facilitate conversation. There's right. no judgment, right?
Right, exactly.
And we'll have that. So we're aligning ourselves with Visit Philadelphia. It's mm-hmm. our co-sponsor sure. for the or our co-host for the evening. And they have this new three-year campaign focused on the Latinx traveler called Philadelphia Gotta Feel It. You gotta feel it. Mm. So
that's tactile, right? Tactile learners, yeah. tactile.
they're accommodating everybody. And yeah. there are plenty of textures in Philadelphia and things to do. So we're trying to maximize on that. Yep. And they're wrapping Penn Station, and there you will see a presence in media, and you will see a presence at events during the summer. And we have been blessed to be the first event of their campaign.
Okay.
So we're ecstatic about that. Right. And to tell you a little bit more, and then I'll move on. I know our time is limited. We'll also, so the festival weekend has 8 ticketed events. The rest right. of the offerings are free.
Oh, okay.
I will say that all the offerings are all ages, but 2 that are actually just for all access pass holders, those are 21 and up. Okay. So families that want to come out with their kids, they can. Folks that are students that want to come in and are working and saving their money to hang out during the summer,
right.
there's no cost.
Right. Okay.
So only 8 ticketed films. And those ticketed films, I want to say that we also have senior discounts, student discounts, and you can also do a series of packages. So we have a package. If you want to do 3 films, they're regularly $12. You can do 3 films, what we call the film buff pass, and those will be $10 each. If you want to do all your films, but you're not interested in the 21 plus events, which is an after party and a concert, you can do all the films for $60.
Okay.
And then in terms of content, so to wrap up the opening night, not only will we have the Visit Philadelphia folks, the kickoff of the campaign, Room 140, we'll give you a preview, we'll acknowledge the winners and honorable mentions of our 2 awards, Youth Salon and Lola Award, but we'll also have some great treats from the folks at Pullero. So we have a little bit of food from South America, El Mercury to have a little bit of food from Central America, and Loco Lucho's Latino Kitchen at the Reading Terminal to have a little bit of the Caribbean flavor. So the idea is to be and celebrate as many creatives and folks in the creative economy here, be it gastronomy, be it design, be it film. In terms of design, I want to say that our space is being beautifully designed by Shannon Maldonado. She's one of our feature artists, and she's a designer that left a career in the fashion industry to relocate to Philly and open her own store on 4th Street.
Yep.
But also, she recently did her first interior design project. It's this boutique hotel at 16th and Christian called The Deacon. So we felt that this will be a great opportunity to showcase the design community in the city. If you look at our flyer, you see that there is the beautiful artwork of a fabulous Salvadorian artist who's a muralist and part of the mural arts family, and he's Carlos Rosa. So for us, Councilman is also pushing ourselves as a team to also center our work around collaboration.
Right, okay.
And, you know, our art design, our art director collaborated with Calo. He's collaborating now with Ms. Maldonado. We're bringing different businesses. We're co-presenting films with a number of folks. So can I tell you a little bit about the lineup?
Well, let's do that after the commercial break. But let me tell our listeners that if you want to learn more, if you want to check out trailers, purchase tickets, go to phlaff.org. phlaff.org. This is running May 30th through June 2nd. Kaplan Recital Hall, Terra Hall, 211 South Broad Street, right in Center City, Philadelphia. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we will be back with the lineup.
Thank you. You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone, they're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the why as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the why. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
All right, we are back. We are talking to Maranjali about the Philadelphia Latino Film Festival that is going to be running from May 30th this week, you know, May 30th to June 2nd. Check out the trailers and get your tickets at phlaff.org. PHLAFF at ORG. Well, Before the commercial break, you're just about to get into the lineup, and so why don't you do that? Let our listeners know what they can expect in this film festival.
Absolutely. So what you can expect is, as I said, we have a weekend of different offerings for you. We'll start by each day. The Friday, we'll start it with our young people. Mm. At the core of the investment that we need to make in our communities.
Yes.
So this is the fourth year that we're doing a youth salon. So young people in the region have their own submission process.
Right.
And there are 8 selections that are going to be showcased that afternoon. But we actually take advantage to bring our connections with nonprofits and schools,
right,
and other community stakeholders,
right,
to bring a group of people to engage into capacity building offerings. So they'll start the morning with 2 1-hour workshops. We'll treat them to lunch. Then they get to go with their peers to see the films. We receive over 30 submissions. We're selected 8 of them. They'll go through that process, and then they'll return to school for the day. We are also taking the Friday to also provide opportunities for filmmakers and offerings,
right,
that are centered on the filmmaking process.
Right.
So we have 3 workshops on the Friday. We'll do 1 in acting at 12 noon.
Mm.
All this information is available on our Facebook page.
Right.
All the workshops are free.
Yes.
All that only people need to register. And there's some limitations or some caps space-wise,
okay,
especially in the acting one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the acting one at 12 o'clock. Then we're going to go into something that we're doing for the first time, which is also content creators want to know, where could I place my content?
Mm.
So we're doing something that we're calling one-on-one with broadcasters.
Right.
So we'll have folks from Philly Camp.
Right.
We'll have folks from POB and America Reframe that can talk to them about tips. So we'll do sessions, one-on-one sessions, about 10 minutes long, where people can sign up and then they can learn, you know, tips, do's,
right,
and don'ts. And then we have a filmmaker workshop on cinematography,
mm-hmm,
and we follow that with a conversation around distribution. Then we're going to be, in terms of our selections, our features for the day, we have Landless, which is a film that comes to us from Brazil. And as you know, the issue of land in that country has become quite critical with our current climate. And then we go into something lighter. We do a filmmaker mixer so people,
mm-hmm,
can relax and right, hang out for a bit.
Right.
And then we go into Bacoso. And Bacoso is a film that is centered around this artist that goes back to Cuba. He's a DJ, and he's trying to connect. He loves Afrobeats, and he's trying to connect that to his ancestors and learn more about the journey.
Right.
And then on Saturday, we have another short showcase at 11 o'clock. And then we also have a matinee of this great film, Emmy-winning production out of Puerto Rico called La Mujer Maravilla Sobre Ruedas. And it's about this young lady and her resilience and her spirit. It's a young lady dealing with cerebral palsy.
Mm.
And she's trying to, without spoiling it, she's trying to break a record of the Guinness Book of Records. So, and we're very pleased that she'll be with us. Somebody from the Chicago Film Festival, Latino Film Festival, fell in love with her story. And it's it has made arrangements for the young lady who's the film is centered on,
right,
to be with us, with a companion. And then she's coming from Chicago to see what's happening in Philly, which is great. Then we also want to promote local talent. So there are 2 emerging filmmakers, Cristal Sotomayor, who's part of the Scribe video team and also part of the FLAF team as a programming coordinator, and Melissa Beatriz Kolnick, who's worked with us also in past years. And they both have documentaries that are in progress. So we opted to offer them the space to have a lab where they can come in and talk to fellow filmmakers. They will both present clips from their film and also talk about their process, and then troubleshoot or share some of the wins, the challenges, the journey, right? with their peers. Then we go into one of our Lola honorable mentions, which is this short called 25 Texans in the Land of Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Very interesting film about a group of young people. And then we go Michelle Angela Ortiz, who is a staple in Philadelphia, a well-known muralist and activist, and she's done a lot of work with Las. So she has this documentary called Las Madres de Burks. And we'll be presenting that. Then we go into a block that we're doing, coordinating with Immigrant Affairs, with the Office of Immigrant Affairs for Immigrant Heritage Month. And we'll be presenting two films with them. The first one is also co-presented by the Philadelphia Asian American Film Festival. And yes. It's Jose. And it's a film that comes to us from Guatemala. And it's the first Central American film that has ever been presented at the Venice International Film Festival. Wow. It also won the Queer Lion Award, which is the highest queer film award last year. And then we'll interject that we have two areas that we're activating at Terra Hall. We'll have a filmmaker workshop with one of our visiting filmmakers that has done a lot of work around citizen filmmaking and activism with film, and he'll have a conversation with folks. And then we're presenting Being Impossible, or Yo Imposible. Yo Imposible is a collaboration between Colombia and Venezuela, and it's about a young lady who's intersex and everything that entails. Okay. Then we close it with Decade of Fire, and Decade of Fire is about the fires in the Bronx in the 70s and the organizing efforts in that community. Sunday, we'll start with shorts. We'll give folks that didn't have an opportunity, families, friends, folks that want to support young filmmakers that do not have access to the screening that the Youth Salon will do on Friday, because that's their space for the young people, right. They'll have an opportunity to come check them out. Then we go to the Dominican Republic with this fabulous film, family offering called Lo Que Siento Por Ti, What I Feel For You. And it's three stories, a family that is dealing with fertility issues, a young mother who's raising two kids with autism, and then a father who has a child, a son, that is participating in the Special Olympics. And based on some logistics, he ends up being the chaperone. So it gives him an opportunity to really immerse himself into that world, which he had not done before. Then we have a panel with filmmakers called the Emergence Panel, and these are for folks that are creating their own platforms and their own spaces. Then we have a very special presentation of Papi versus Giant Scorpion. That's a filmmaker that was based in Philadelphia, Les Rivera, also known as El Malito. He was also a musical artist, and he became a young father. And the Scorpion is about that. But the beautiful thing is that he's collaborating with somebody who he met at FLAF last year, who's going to be the lead actress in the film. So it's definitely a FLAF baby. And then we close with Ya Me Voy, I'm Leaving Now, which is the debate of folks in the diaspora. I'm not here, I'm not there. Mm-hmm. It's a father from Mexico who's sending all the money home, but it's missing time with his son. And that's really, you know, he has an inner conflict to address. And then we close with Cartas de Amor para una Icona. Those of you that know Puerto Rican singer Lucecita Benitez, known as the voice of Puerto Rico, you definitely want to come and watch that film. And that's our weekend for you. Again, ticketed films. The rest of the offerings are free. All ages, please come, tell a friend, and come hang out with us.
All right. Well, thank you for all of that. I mean, the Philadelphia Latino Film Festival 2019. Check out trailers. Get tickets at phlaff.org. And thank you for tuning into this show. I hope you got a lot out of it. If you want to check out the podcast of this show, go to www.dbam.com. Check out the program In the Know with David O. And you'll be able to hear this and all our other interviews. So tune in next week for In the Know with David O.
Thank you. You've been listening to In the Know with David O on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.